broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Good morning on this very chilly morning. It's fabulous. The winds are northerly. Can you feel them? 15 to 20 mile an hour winds. Mostly sunny skies. It's going to warm up. 76 to 81. 81 the high expected today. Isolated showers on the Windward and Mocha sections. It's a great day to play a round of golf. It's not too hot. It's perfect, but do put the sunscreen on. And you can win two rounds of golf this hour at Poipu Bay for Valentine's Day. Poipu Bay Golf Course, exquisite. PGA of America hosted the Grand Slam of Golf for 20 years at Poipu Bay. Tiger Woods loved playing there. You can win if you're the ninth caller, and the number is 808-546-5675. We've got a great lineup for you today. The LPGA and the Executive Women's Golf Association united in a strategic alliance to grow the women's game. LPGA, Ladies Professional Golf Association, one of the longest running women's professional sports associations in the world. The LPGA Tour is arguably the largest global women's golf or sports association for that matter. EWGA, the largest national women's amateur golf association. They formed an alliance to promote the game of golf to women. Now, we've heard the industry talk about the benefits of growing the game of golf in the last 7 years by targeting women. The women demo is the demo with the most growth possible to get feet on the course, more people playing, and the element of shopping. The stores to buy the clubs and the accoutrements to go with playing. The clothes, the hats, the gloves, the shoes, the tools. The rangefinders are like opera glasses. It all suits the female desire to have the stylish, hippest things for her game. Now, I've often thought all of this talk is kind of pandering, because of the way men in the business were talking about this untapped business resource, this segment. But, you know, if you love the game and you know how much fun it can be to play with your friends and family, then you understand there are a lot of women who are missing out, who just want to share what you are experiencing, and they want to give it to you. You want to get the girls to come out and have fun, even if at first you don't succeed in scoring, ladies. It's not the point. Not on the social level and healthy exercise level and the get out of the house and into the natural world level. And that's one of the best parts of the game of golf. And you can build networks, make business contacts, social media contacts, improve your business prospects. There have been some significant, powerful moves made between 2017 and 2018 by women inside the LPGA and the EWGA, truly putting the power of big business and money into the mouth of growing the game with women talk, because the words are coming from these accomplished women in the game. And today we're going to focus on women in the game. We focus on a powerful woman who made the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association, celebrating its 20th anniversary today. We focus also on one of the most outspoken, charismatic men in the game of golf. From the UK, accomplished professional golfer, Ryder Cup player, golf course architect, and BBC ESPN color commentator. But first, we're going to come back and talk with Jane Geddes, CEO, EWGA, right after we thank the people who make this show possible.
The Golf Club, brought to you in part by Creative Plumbing. Call Creative Plumbing because it has to be done right. Futura Stone, for your business or residence. Pavers for your driveways and parking lots, concrete-colored floors, and decorative stone floors. And Claude Brousseau, master PGA teaching professional at Maui School of Golf. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
Jane Geddes, CEO, EWGA, worked with WWE, a veteran of the LPGA Tour, and just doing some magnificent things for the Executive Women's Golf Association. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Thank you so much, Danielle. It's nice to be back.
Absolutely. I mean, it's almost been a year since you took on the role as CEO, and huge things have happened. You must be very proud of your accomplishments at this point, but maybe you see a lot more to come And I'm very excited.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm very excited about this strategic alliance. So let's talk first about this alliance that's been created.
Uh-huh. Well, you gave me a good lead in. Everything you said was absolutely accurate. So we are very excited to have created now an alliance with the LPGA, as you said. You know, the LPGA is one of the biggest women's sports organizations in the world, and certainly becoming bigger on a global scale. So it's an interesting time for women in the game. I've been around the sport for 35 years, and on both sides, as you said, inside the ropes and outside the ropes. And during my time outside the ropes, when I was with the LPGA and very involved in the industry with Golf 2020 and whatnot, you know, the common theme was always, hey, we have to get women into the game. We have to get women into the game. But nobody really, you know, there's a lot of talk, and nobody really really focused on it. And so the EWJ was out there and, you know, trying to, you know, do their part, and a bunch of other, you know, women's organizations were trying to do their part. And, you know, a couple of years ago, and you hit on it exactly, the industry, you know, it came to, and this is nothing new, like, you know, came to really sort of agree across the board that, hey, guess what? Not only is it the right thing to do to get women into the game, but there's money to be made.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, when there was money to be made, it sort of just re-emphasized what everyone was talking about. You know, it's not, and I don't know, you said, it, you know, you thought it felt like a little bit of pandering. You know, the fact of the matter is that the women demographic in every market, women are the purchasing power of families. And so even if it's not a rangefinder for them or clubs for them, they're probably going to be the ones that are out there getting the, you know, golf clothes for their family, or golf clubs for their kids, or, I mean, whatever it is, buying golf balls. So it's just a reality. So, I say that because it's a really great time for women in golf. And I've been in it a long time. And when you're in it, especially when you're on the professional side, you just think, you know, everybody in the world knows exactly who you are. And that's not true, because the LPGA was, you know, it hasn't become as visible as it has become under Mike Wann in the last few years. And so it's an exciting time on the professional side, and it's an exciting time in the industry side, where women are truly, truly becoming a focus. So our alliance with the LPGA is allowing us to consolidate what we feel are two of the bigger powers in golf. As you know, the EWJ is the largest women's golf association in the United States as far as just giving women an opportunity to play on a national level, and obviously the LPGA. And so now coming together, we really feel like we can drive home the whole mission, which is to just get women interested and playing the game.
Absolutely.
Period.
Yes.
Very simple.
It is simple. And it is about women playing. When I said pandering, is that men were talking about how, well, this is this untapped segment, but they weren't creating ways for that untapped segment to actually funnel into the game. It was the old, gee, I feel so uncomfortable in this pro shop because I'm, uh-huh. You know, no one's saying, hey, welcome in. Let me show you the place. You know,
right.
You're supposed to
right.
kind of stumble your way through and figure out what, I don't know what I need, you know, and,
right.
but they're opening up in the pro shops, and I'm, I don't want to be attacking the pro shops because I know so many of you and
yeah.
you're doing a great job getting women in the game and making us feel more comfortable. But that wasn't the case 10 years ago. And now with women, strong women saying, okay, this is a way that we can help women feel comfortable. And I'm telling you, yes, women buy for others in the family, but for you to give them a reason to buy it for themselves, that's what they need.
Better.
Women
right.
won't
Absolutely.
Just go out and do something for themselves. They're the nurturers, they're the givers, right, for the most part. Mm-hmm. But for you to say, okay, here, this is a great opportunity, you'll get out of the house, you'll spend several hours with your friends, you'll make friends, maybe you didn't even know there are people who play the game, and we're going to get you in, and then you'll have friends, and there are different levels that the EWGA has, the big beginner golfer, you can take lessons within the EWG because we create these clinics. You know, so it's a wonderful, wonderful organization. But now I thought it was interesting that the LPGA is doing something similar in reaching out to golfers with the women's network, but they didn't have the element of getting women to the course.
Right.
And that's where the Executive Women's Golf Association comes in, getting women to the course, and you've already got that established.
Correct. And that was really, that's where we fit. So we would be considered, if you hear Mike Wan talk about it, and he talks about it passionately, and, you know, that there was a component missing. The LPGA is, you know, when you look at everything they offer now, from LGA, USGA Girls Golf, to the TNCP, to now the LPGA Women's Network, and then skip to the Symmetra Tour and the LPGA Tour, this, what's missing? The play component for women amateur golfers. And so that's where we come in, and, you know, we will fall under the LPGA umbrella. We will be rebranding under the LPGA, you know, family. And so we will, you know, now it's, you know, sort of a cradle to grave thing. You know, I mean, you come in, you learn to play, and you play, you know, for as long as you want to play, whether it's on the professional side or on the amateur side. And you can do that all under the LPGA umbrella and under the LPGA community.
Right. And then with the EWGA, which is our focus right now, is there are the beginner golfers, the recreational golfers, and the competitive golfer. And if you're wondering what's the difference between beginner and recreational golfer goes out and she's got a 20 handicap or a 30 or a 40. Mm-hmm. Doesn't really matter. But she's out there and she's trying to improve her game, get that score down a little bit, you know, so that your handicap, it just so you get better. You get more consistent on the fairway. I'm in the fairway. Okay, now I know, my goodness, I can get in the fairway. I'm straight down the fairway. But how do I chip? How do I get that ball now up on the green? And that's where the Executive Women's Golf Association, or the EWGA, comes in. We talked about a year ago, I guess it was in May or June, when you just started. Mm-hmm. How's the feeling about the name? Are you still uncomfortable, or are you thinking about changing?
It's changing.
It's changing.
Yeah, so we had gone through a strategic planning process soon after I spoke with you, and what we had decided by the time we got through it, which was pretty much, you know, at the end of the summer, was that we were going to drop the E from the name. We felt as though it was, it served its purpose. The organization is 27 years old, and we feel like, you know, we felt like we needed a reset, and that the E was becoming an impediment for, you know, a demographic and a younger set of women. That what we never want is someone to hear the name, go to join, don't have a good reference point, and say, I'm really not an executive. I don't know if I should do that. So we, you know, the board, I have a wonderful board that was very supportive to being, you know, to kind of looking at the organization and say, you know, how can we do it better? What can we do? That's, you know, I felt like that's why I was hired. I was hired to come in to take just a new critical look at what the organization was doing. So we had decided to rebrand, and that was at the end of the summer. And then Mike Wan and I, Mike has remained a commissioner of the LPGA. I worked for Mike at the LPGA, left, and we remained friends. He's been a friend, a mentor, and you know, just a fantastic guy in the industry. And he and I had stayed connected for, you know, since the time that Mike came to the LPGA, and we got together in the fall just to have breakfast and just to catch up, really no agenda, just, you know, started talking, and one thing led to another, and a couple hours later, we both left that breakfast calling our board on the way home saying, hey, I think we have an idea. And it's about joining forces, and it's about let's see if we can do something really exciting in the game. So that's really how it came about. So, you know, the timing was perfect for us. We were going through that process anyway, our chapters and our leaders, and everyone knew that we were going through this process of rebranding. And so, you know, I think when we made the announcement a couple weeks ago about the Strategic Alliance, it was, you know, and we had kept it pretty much under wraps. So I think it was kind of cool to be able to make that announcement to our chapters and members and, you know, let them know the exciting news. And we've had, you know, tremendously positive response, so far. And we haven't even begun, really. So
you're
figuring it all out right now.
Yeah. And now, so when will we just call it the Women's Golf Association?
Well, I mean, we're going to it'll have a new name. It'll have a new logo. So stay tuned on that. coming soon.
Coming soon. Well, I'm a chapter board member here. Uh-huh. We started in 2013, and so I certainly will stay tuned. And I want to encourage women to get in touch with us. You know, EWGA Hawaii is active. We've got this great clinic coming up. We're going to have a rules clinic for members only, and this rules clinic with Mary B. Porter King being the person who's giving it. Yes, awesome. And she's so amazing when she does clinics. Yes. She did one for us several years back. And it's for the three levels of the EWGA, the competitive golfer who wants to know exactly how those rules can help her game. The recreational golfer who just needs to know what to do in certain situations. And for the beginner golfer to start get the feel of this, you know, not maybe getting it all at that moment, but that's not what's important, is that you get yourself in the environment to start learning the lingo and start getting comfortable with the words. For the competitive golfer, though, for women who love competition, you know, the woman who can't play without a little bit of something on the side, right? Okay. The EWGA Cup and the Championship are huge. Tell us about those.
Yeah, it is. So we have two national championships, and quite honestly, with the LPGA, we're hoping to have more. And I'll talk about that in a minute because I want to talk about that because I think it's important. But for now, we have two very big championships for the really competitive golfer, although we have four flights in each of those. So it does range from the higher handicap, still women that are, you know, that are competitive but have a higher handicap, all the way down to the single digits. So the one of them, the finals, is it is a stroke play tournament. You know, with, I think we've got, we almost, I think we had almost 400 women there, 300 women in Arkansas last year. This year it will be, the tournament will be played at, Horseshoe Bay in, Austin, Texas. And so we're looking forward to a great event there. And then that's in November or end of October, beginning of November. And then, following that will be our Cup Championship, which is a match play event. So we have about 200 women that come for the match play event. And then along with that, we also have a scramble event, a team scramble, which has become very popular that we also host that week. And again, we have about 300 plus women that, that all qualify across the country for that. So it starts with the chapter championship. At the local level, and then people move on from the chapter championship, those that qualify, onto the regionals, and then on to the nationals. So it's a season long, starting in the spring, early summer, depending on kind of where you live and whether the weather will allow, unlike in Hawaii, where you're fortunate to be able to play all year.
Yes.
Some people in the Northeast and the North and the Northwest are not quite as fortunate, but anyway, we keep that in mind and we hold all of our championships so that those people can enjoy a season of golf that ends in the competitive tournament. So, you know, there are two marquee events. But I'll tell you, Daniel, one of the things that I talk about when I go out and I speak to the chapters and whatnot is, you know, that's 2,000 women out of 12,000. So what I say is, what are all the other 10,000 doing? You know, and what are we doing for them? What are we doing for them on the local level? You know, you're fortunate that that your chapter has a developmental program. We're not as fortunate in some chapters because we haven't done a good job in the past of really developing that programming around where's the on-ramp for women that want to play, right? We'll do that now at the LPGA. We have a great opportunity with TNCP and whatnot to really connect the dots in that. So we will have opportunities all over the country to have those developmental programs like Mary B. is putting on in Hawaii. But so what we're getting back to the tournaments, what we're going to be developing in the next, you know, year and years to come are other events for women, you know, to play in on a national stage that maybe aren't as competitive, maybe a full scramble event, a league championship. There's leagues everywhere. I'm assuming there are probably leagues in Hawaii. Some places there are more leagues than others, but a great opportunity to have a national championship, for leagues. And or how about tournaments for people that just don't want to be super competitive? How about just an opportunity for a bunch of women to come together, whether it's at a conference and we have golf attached? So we're looking at really broadening our scope of national events, both to, you know, one thing I will always say, and I want to make sure that you as a chapter board member and as a longstanding member of the EWJ and that all members understand is that no matter what we're called, no matter what we do, no matter what our mission is, we will never forget where we came from and the history and who we are and the women that right now really, really make the EWJ, you know, what it is for their members and for their chapters and for their friends, because that's really what it comes down to, right? It's the ultimate in grassroots golf for women.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Never not be that.
I'm glad.
You know, that's the special sauce, right? That is ultra important, and I'm trying to communicate that as much as I can in my communications with the members. But I want everybody to know that will always remain a focus. It has to.
It has to.
But that's really what women's amateur golf is about.
Yeah, and plus the whole EWGA focus, the reason it was called the Executive Women's Golf Association was to allow women who couldn't play the game get out with the boys in the 90s and play some golf and create that camaraderie you have when you come off the course.
Right.
You have that bonding experience that women were locked out of back then.
Yep.
And so she said, listen, I got to make something. We'll bring the women in, get them playing the game, get them to know, so they can go to a charity event, be a part of the team, make those contacts. That is the whole thing, and it's evolving, becoming social, and yes, the whole thing about business prospects and everything else also comes into play. So I really appreciate the time that you have spent with us, Jane Geddes, CEO, Executive Women's Golf Association. It's a pleasure talking with you, and I want you back on when you're ready to do all the announcing of these different things that you've got coming up. I know you're going to...
I would love to.
Oh, good.
I would love to. I was going to end by saying that. I'll be back. So,
good.
Within the next month or so, there'll be a lot more information out, and I would love to, I'd love to come back, Danielle, and talk about some of the things that we're, you know, some of the plans we have and some of the things we'll be doing. And, you know, we're working on kind of furiously right now getting, you know, just trying to get everything together just for the transition. But once we get to that point, we'll be able to talk a lot more about our programming and some of the new things we'll be doing.
I'm just thrilled that the EWGA is hooked up with the LPGA because it just adds a level of, I don't know, understanding. It gives it a bigger feeling to it, something that people are going, oh, the LPGA and the EWGA are working together. And that is exciting. And I thank you for your time. Aloha.
Thank you. Anytime. Thanks, Danielle. Take care.
Jane Geddes, CEO, EWGA. And we'll be back right after this. Nancy Henderson is joining us. She's the LPGA side, the LPGA Women's Network, president of the LPGA Foundation, and the chief training officer of LPGA Teaching and Club Professionals. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens, your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home, you need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing! 841-2837. Your experts on call.
After a year of searching, I found the perfect building for my new 30,000-foot showroom and office. I asked the architect what to do about the flooring. She just smiled and said, call Futurestone. They can turn a dirty, bumpy slab into a work of art. Super low maintenance, yet tough as nails. It's not paint. It's polished concrete, as seen in Architectural Digest. Call Futurestone at 841-7433. It needs to be done right, on time, and on budget.
Here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Hey, I would love for you to win two rounds of golf at Poipu Bay. We're giving them away right now. Are you the ninth caller? Because if you are, you'll win two rounds at Poipu Bay for Valentine's Day. The number is 546-5675. 546-5675. On Kauai, Maui, the Big Island, just dial 808-546-5675. If you can't make it to Kauai, of course, they make a very nice gift. Nancy Henderson, president of LPGA Foundation and the chief training officer of the LPGA Teaching and Club Professionals. And now, LPGA Women's Network, welcome into the clubhouse.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Nancy, what an absolutely fabulous PGA show, merchandise show, where everything was announced. And my open of the show was about, now we have big business getting into the word about, let's grow the game of golf and target women. Let's get women into the game of golf. And it's always been something that's been talked about. It's been, you know, this would be the best segment of the population to grow the game. The, you know, most underrepresented women are only 10%. But no one ever did anything about it. And there was, I guess, not a lot of money behind the idea. No one kind of got into it. And now with, you've got some serious partners. Tell us about these blue chip companies that came on board.
Yeah, it's really exciting for us. You know, we announced at the PGA show, obviously, the official launch of our LPGA Women's Network, which is really an online digital platform specifically for women in golf and those who want to get in golf to have a place to go. And we knew we needed support of, you know, some of our LPGA partners and some new partners to kind of get behind it. And, you know, with the environment today for women, the fact that, you know, Kia jumped on board and KPMG and Dow and XL Catlin, and soon to be another founding partner to be announced probably in the next month or so, a pretty large partner of the LPGA, which is also exciting. You know, it speaks volumes for their commitment to women, not only in golf, but in the boardroom and wanting to make a difference to elevate women. And we were so excited to be on the stage to share that moment.
Yeah. Who was with you on the stage? Was it Nancy?
Yeah, you know, it was. You know, Nancy Lopez is one of our contributors in content to the LPGA Women's Network. Both of her companies in Nancy Lopez Golf and Nancy Lopez Golf Adventures also support the LPGA and the LPGA Women's Network. You know, and to have a Hall of Famer like Nancy, you know, on stage lending her voice was incredible, along with the executives from those corporations. And, you know, the fact that Sue Townsend, who was the chief diversity officer for KPMG, came in to be part of that breakfast that morning, just speaks volumes for, you know, their commitment to empowering women.
It is. So it's Dow, Kia Motors America, KPMG, and XL Catlin, and then another one to be announced soon. It's really it's really exciting. Let me ask you, the LPGA Women's Network, what is the goal?
Well, the goal for us is to get over 500,000 women engaged in our network. As you know, the more women we can get together, the more powerful our voice is. And quite frankly, it's been somewhat embarrassing that over our history, you know, we've existed to provide opportunity for women in that professional space, which is great. And we've, you know, focused on girls and juniors with our foundation and our LPGA, USGA Girls Golf Program. But we really haven't ever focused on amateur women in golf. And it was time for us to do that and to lend our voice. A lot of our partners come to us because they want to reach women, and quite frankly, we can't. So this not only helps us, but it also helps all women get together to take advantage of different offerings that we have already. Our member perk section, which allows women who join our network, which, by the way, it's free to join our network, can take advantage of discounts from a lot of organizations in and outside of golf. Like for me, I've already taken advantage of my Toomey discount through that member perk section.
So there's fines. Like there's a section where something is a find. We found this. I think you'll like this. And that is something you could purchase through the LPGA Women's Network, but there's also instruction, there's career and networking, there's advice, inspiration for your life. Contributing writers, including Annika Sorenstam and Nancy Lopez, they're all a part of this LPGA Women's Network that just was announced at the PGA show in January. Of course, we spoke with Nancy Henderson not long ago about the LPGA Women's Network and what the network wanted to do to grow the women's game, which, you know, we've heard that said so often, and now it seems like we're taking actual practical, you know, steps that you can act. This is a way to do it. This is the EWGA and the LPGA coming together. It just makes so much sense. And I was speaking with Jane Geddes just before you came on, because I think it just gives not only the the digital platform that you're providing, which is, by the way, gorgeous. I love the way it's set up. It's easy to navigate through and find the different things you want to do. But then to be able to get women who are playing golf already, or sending women who want to not just play online and see online, but now go, okay, now here's a place where you can meet women who are already golfing. Was that the idea?
Exactly. You know, we have about two more phases to launch of the Women's Network. One is a very robust digital platform for videos, and we hope to include content for not only more experienced golfers, but for new golfers wanting to get in the game. One of the first series we launched was What Do You Need to Know to Take Up the Game? And that really corresponds nicely with our new LPGA Golf 101 program that we launched, which is a 6-session intro to golf series by women for women, you know, in a comfortable environment. One of the reasons why women take up the game in record numbers and drop out in record numbers is a lot of them take up the game in a space that's not comfortable, where there's 8 guys and 2 women, and they're always comparing themselves to the guys. But this is kind of creating their network of women right from the get-go and introducing golf in a comfortable space. So that's a program that we're really excited about, and we have kind of video content and teasers that correspond with those 6 sessions, but we already have almost 200 of our LPGA Teaching Club professional members signed up to basically offer those programs at their facility. So we're hoping to expand that as well, but the content on that platform is designed really for all levels of golfers. And then, of course, the centralized calendar of events, which is also coming next, which will allow any woman to be able to find a place to play, which leads into our EWGA relationship.
So find a place to play. Here's a group of women in your neighborhood, and they play. Get in touch with so-and-so at the EWGA.
Right. Either, you know, women who are part of the EWGA, or even women who are not, or if you're a competitive player, where can I play?
Yes.
In a competitive forum for women.
Yeah. And just so you know, if you're interested, but you wouldn't want to commit right away, EWGA chapters let you come to different events twice. So you can see, you know, you're like, okay, you want me to join something and I don't know anybody there? Well, you can come and get to know the people and then decide, oh, yeah, I like this group. Or then you realize that there's a lot of different kinds of people within the group. It's not all one you know, one interest. Yes, we all share the golf interest, but some of us are grandmothers or mothers or students, you know, so it's not just one facet of the woman. It's many facets of the woman coming together and going out and play a game. And it's a lot of fun because one young girl, she just came out of college, but for me, she's young, a young girl, and she's going into the business climate. And she loved playing with one of the junior golfers who one of our members brought, her daughter, who was really good. And the young woman said, God, I want to play with her more often because I'm really learning a lot from her. And she's a junior golfer. And it was a fabulous moment that just spoke to me about how wonderful this gathering of women is. And by the way, guys, if this sounds like something you'd like to be a part of, the EWGA allows men to join. And you can't play in our championship or the EWGA Cup, but you can come to the events. You can play with us during our monthly events. We have clinics. You can come to the clinics and you can learn. And it's a very comfortable environment. Women are kind of fun to be around. For guys who I would like to just, you know, have a fun time and not have the, you know, the anger and that sometimes golf evokes from people. Do you ever notice that, Nancy?
Yes. It's nice to be inclusive. We, with our girls golf program, also, even though we primarily focus on girls, always allow boys to participate. And it was, nice to see men supporting women in golf as well. You know, two of the executives we had up on stage were men, and it spoke to, you know, the good men out there wanting to elevate women in golf as well. And, that's one of the things we want to focus on is, you know, diversity and inclusion and making sure all people in golf are comfortable in that stage.
When I was going through your announcement about the LPGA Women's Network, it's lpgawomensnetwork.com. Very easy to find, and it's really nicely done. You should check it out. There is practical golf tips and instruction from LPGA teachers, member perks and discount from LPGA partners. Can you tell us a little bit more about the discounts from partners? How does that work?
Absolutely. There's a whole section on our site. You actually have to join the network to access that member perk section. So you have to go in, enter your email, set up a password, and that gets you in kind of our member perk section. And, you know, there's lots of different LPGA partners that are there who have provided discounts. We mentioned Nancy Lopez earlier in the show. That she also, with her companies, both Nancy Lopez Golf and Nancy Lopez Golf Adventures, provide discounts, as well as LPGA Travel and other partners that are in that LPGA family. And I can only see that list increasing, you know, with our new alliance with the EWGA.
Yeah, and by the way, it's free to join the LPGA Women's Network, which makes it really cool. And then you have access to these discounts from LPGA partners and the perks. Also, I thought the engaging with the LPGA and its players through an interactive blog and video series. Can you give us some examples?
Sure, absolutely. One of the first series we launched is a Secrets of a Champion series. We had a great series on Jarena Pillar and focusing on her and having her share some tips and advice for women in the game. Those kind of series are what we're looking to do. We also have some of our LPGA teachers analyzing what some of our LPGA champions do and then relating that to how it'll help your game. For instance, Allison Kurt, who's one of our former National Teachers of the Year, analyzing Arya Jutanagarn and how she smiles before she cuts and why that helps her and how that could help you. So, you know, our intention is to incorporate our LPGA players not only in their stories, but also with some practical advice to help the women who play. So it's exciting for us because it kind of transcends lots of different platforms.
Yeah, and that's it. There's also inspiration. And there's one person in particular I was thinking about, and you know, her name just went right out of my mind. It's one of those moments. She's gone through some serious challenges. She's the most fun person on the LPGA tour when it comes to the videos that she makes on YouTube. She's a real character.
Yeah.
And you know
Tiffany
who I'm...
Joe. Yeah. Tiffany Joe. Yeah, you had to say one of the most interesting characters, and I pictured Tiffany Joe in her unicorn onesie.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, she is one of our most interesting players. She's a girls' golf ambassador. She's a very talented musician. She has some incredible YouTube videos if you haven't seen some of her songs that she writes. But she did just battle some cancer, and it really, you know, I think helped shape her, and she's sharing her story with others, which, you know, that's really what this is about, women helping other women, and the fact that someone like Tiffany is able to share her story and to have that platform, it's great to see.
Yes, exactly. And that's when I saw Tiffany, I thought, wow, this is perfect, because not only is it learning on a physical level the game of golf, then on a mental game aspect, you get that part too, and then there's the challenges in life that may keep you away from what you'd like to do, but know that you can get back. And that's really a big part of just the way golf is, connecting with each other with stories of inspiration, stories of success, stories of getting to success and not getting disappointed if you're not successful. Because all of that is part of the game, and it's wonderful. And Nancy Henderson, president of the LPGA Foundation and chief teaching officer, LPGA Teaching and Club Professionals. She spearheads the organization's professional development, youth, and women's outreach initiatives, and leads the LPGA Women's Network, and that's what we're talking about. LPGA Women's Network.com is where you go. How do you see this this joint initiative, the strategic initiative between the two organizations, or the LPGA and the EWGA? Where do you see this going in the future?
Yeah, you know, as we launched our Women's Network, we kind of had that learn, grow, connect kind of buckets. And it was real clear to us that the one area we were missing was that play component. So when you think about women's amateurs who play, you think about the Executive Women's Golf Association, obviously the largest women's amateur association, and has a great 25-plus year history. You know, our goal was to partner with them to, you know, kind of take what they've done and what they do really well and just, you know, put the full resources of the LPGA behind it to just see what we can do to elevate, you know, and grow that great organization. So for us, it's an exciting opportunity. We've had a lot of partners who have helped us along the way. You know, obviously the PGA of America aligning with the LPGA and the KPMG Women's Championship and the USGA with Girls Golf. So this is kind of our way to add a little bit of resources to what the EWGA already does well, and to continue their next chapter, maybe just helping them in a bigger and better way.
Nancy Henderson, I'm very excited that the LPGA is lending its cachet to the EWGA. Thank you very much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Aloha.
Aloha.
We're going to come back and talk with a young man I love dearly, Peter Alice, the voice of British golf, BBC, ABC, ESPN, those down under, author of 20 books. I like The Cure for the Grumpy Old Man, golf course architect, the Belfry, speaker and evening entertainer. An evening with Alice is something I wish he brings, or I hope he brings back, and I wish I could be there, and a philanthropist. Peter Alice's wheelchair charity, Help for Heroes, through the profits from the sale of his latest book, goes to the Peter Alice wheelchair charity. So we'll be back, and we're going to talk about the Masters that's coming up, the Ryder Cup in France, and maybe a little Tiger right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Have you ever seen a building or a magazine photo or traveled to a place that captured your imagination? Futura Stone's Master Craftsman can transform your vision into a reality. Does your project call out for a permeable pavement, parking area, pool deck, plaza, or grand entry? Bring us your plans. Futura Stone's unique outdoor products and services can turn your resort, building, or home's exterior into an oasis that will last a lifetime. Call Futura Stone, 841-7440 across Hawaii. Futura Stone, only the best.
Strong, quiet, dependable, reliable. Sounds like a great husband for my daughter. But really, it's your new Rainer garage door. your home deserves the beauty and dependability that only Rainer can give. Call us today at 676-3667. Ask about our fall special and save money as you improve your home. That's Rainer Hawaii, 676-D-O-O-R.
As we jet from place to place, we buckle in knowing they maintain their planes daily. They don't put off repairs till the next month. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your water line, sewer line, or fire line broke at the worst possible moment. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or commercial center, high-rise, townhouse, or hen house. You need your job done now. Done right. That's Creative Plumbing! Your experts on call.
Yeah, yeah. A mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
Just one final note. The PGA of America has just announced the Women's PGA Cup starting in 2019. Top international women PGA members will represent their respective countries. It's a biennial event. Five countries competing so far. They expect more. Australia, Canada, Great Britain, Ireland, Netherlands, Sweden, and the United States. 54 hole stroke play, five team members per country. The men have their own PGA Cup, and now it's time to make it a women's event. And I think that's very cool that they've done it. And congratulations, Lorraine from Waipahu. You won two rounds at Poipube Golf Course, and it's a Valentine's Day at Poipube. And now, coming into the clubhouse, it is Peter Alice, voice of British golf, author of 20 books, golf course architect and speaker and evening entertainer when he feels like it. Welcome into the clubhouse, Peter.
Thank you. And may I add, an all-round good egg.
An all-round good egg, yes.
All-round good egg. I'm sorry, I'm a bit throaty today. I've been shouting at my kids playing, watching the rugby. I've been watching the rugby and I've been shouting, and there we are.
Oh, you're...
Anyway,
yes.
Nice to hear your voice.
It's good to hear yours, throaty and all. And rugby, oh, you know, we at Kapiolani Park on Oahu, there used to be, and I think they still do. Boy, watching those guys play rugby, that's got to be the toughest sport ever. They come out bloodied. It's just...
Well, they play a sort of American-style football without all the protective gear.
Yes.
So when you get somebody about 300 pounds doing 100 yards in 12 seconds and hitting your full bore, you tend to break things and use a few teeth or get your nose adjusted. So it's a hard game.
Yes, it's boxing bare knuckle style. Right, yes, right there. So I want to tell you, the Masters, will you be at Augusta National this year?
Yes, I will. I've had some spinal problems, and I don't walk too very well, but usually from the chin up, I'm pretty lively. So they very kindly wheel me through airports in wheelchairs and things, and which gets you to the front of the queue sometimes. So, and I sit on aeroplanes, and people bring me food and beverage, and I come off the other end in the States, and somebody meets me and tucks me in bed at night, more than I used to. My wife does that now. She doesn't trust me. But as Henry Longhurst said, when somebody said, "Henry, you're still a bit fruity," he said, "The stable door is open, but the horse is too old to bolt."
Oh, my. The stable horse is open, but the horse is too old to bolt.
Yeah,
I'm going to have
me.
To remember that. That's you. Okay. My young Peter Alice. Yes. No, young Peter was a professional golfer, or is probably still. I mean, think about it. You know, are you ever not what you were? It's always a part of you.
Right.
And you played Ryder Cup. You were on the Ryder Cup. But the Masters is something you do every year. And we have a stable, if you will, of players coming out. Dustin Johnson, Jordan Spieth, John Rahm, Justin Thomas, Rory McIlroy, Phil Mickelson, Adam Scott, Sergio Garcia, Jason Day. Have you seen a field quite as intense as this one that's coming up recently?
Oh, I think so over the years, if you look back. I mean, we've got a wonderful field at the moment of young men in their early 20s up to their sort of early middle 30s. I'm not sure. I'd have to look at the records and see who played years ago. There were periods when there
Do you think Tiger Woods will play in the Masters?
Well, I hope he does. When I say that, I watched Tiger Woods when he was 16, 17 years of age. And I've watched him now, that's 30-odd years. And I would hate Tiger Woods to disappear and not be playing very well, so that people say, oh, he can't play. Rather like going to the last Frank Sinatra concert.
Oh, no.
He looked good. He did all the hand movements, but he couldn't sing. And so, as he used to. And I don't want Tiger to end his days doing 73s and 75s.
No.
And looking miserable. I want him to play nicely. And I don't know if it all clicked together mentally. I think a lot of it is mental. I think if that all came together, it is possible. But the odds are against him doing well.
The odds are against him, but you'd like to see him playing well.
Oh, I would. I'd like to see Tiger playing well for a couple of years and then saying, winning something.
Yes.
And then sort of saying, well, ladies and gentlemen, I've had a wonderful time. I've had all sorts of problems on and off the course with my body and my mind. And I'm riding into the sunset. And I thank you all for your support. And I'm going to retire and go around the Arnold Palmer chip and putt course.
You know, that sounds so good, but I just, this drive that the man has, this competitive edge and that he thrives on, he just loves being in the thick of it.
Yeah, you can have all that, but if you can't do it, it's no good.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you've got to have about four or five ingredients to be great. You've got to have skill and nerve and desire and luck and whatever. I've seen people with great skill, wonderful, but they didn't have the desire, or they didn't have the nerve, or they got frightened at the wrong time. They looked wonderful on the practice ground, but they won, you know, two or three things, but they never fulfilled their potential, whereas somebody else looks quite ordinary, and they do wonderful things. They win things by sheer skill and determination and guts, and they have good nerves. And I think that becomes a premier thing. Your nerves go, whether you like to admit it or not.
So
you think too much.
You think too much. Oh, that is such a good statement. Oh, thinking is like the ultimate killer.
Well, you can't stop it at golf. It's at other games, tennis and football and more than baseball. You don't have time really to think. Bang, 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 bang at tennis. Roger Federer, who I adore watching play. It's all bing, bang, it's reflex and fast. Whereas golf, you had to drive a couple of 300 yards, and then it takes you 2 or 3 minutes to walk down, and your brain is bombarded with the noises of birds in the trees, people shouting, whistling, cat calls, friendly banter, thoughts of what you're going to have for dinner, whether you're getting on okay with your wife, is everything okay? What about this new car you've just bought? Does it have a funny rattle in it? All sorts of things. You have time, and you've got to let those thoughts wash through your head and out again before you play the next shot, and it's difficult.
That's Peter Alice, voice of British golf, feeling a bit throaty today. He's been screaming at the TV because he's watching a rugby match. Well, what did you think of his first outing in San Diego? Did you see any parts of that?
I thought most of it, yes, it was shown over in England. It was he's so wild off the tee. Well, I'm amazed that somebody of his skill can't invent a drive that hits the fairway. Even if it only goes 280, 90 yards, you tee it low, you aim down the left, and you think of Lee Trevino. You should think of Lee Trevino every time he gets on the tee, one of the greatest drivers ever. And you just play a little cuts down the fairway. Get it on the fairway. You can't do anything from the bushes.
The fact that he did come from the bushes and he scored so well was pretty miraculous, though. That was
it was miraculous. He did things that were impossible. It was a joy to watch, but they were impossible.
Right.
He did them.
The Tiger-esque was definitely challenged, and he came through. So he's in the Genesis Open next week at Riviera. Have you been there? What a silly question.
I have many times. Riviera is lovely. Now, that's not an easy course. If he scores 280, that's the equivalent of 470s, 471s, he'll be doing very well, in my opinion.
Wow. Really? Okay. All right. And then he's got Arnold Palmer Invitational in mid-March, and he doesn't qualify for the WGCs because his ranking, I haven't even looked if he's broken into the, you know, below.
No, I don't know. Yeah. But I think if he breaks par in the tournaments he plays in until the Masters, he will be doing brilliantly.
Yeah, there's talk of him adding Valspar.
Yeah. Well, that's fine. If he keeps doing 69, 70, get into the groove, he'll be good.
Yeah, okay.
I think, in humble opinion, he hits at the ball too hard. If I had a word with him, I'd tell him to grip the club as lightly as he could and then swing. Don't re-grip it. Just hold the driver very lightly and see where you go. He'd only be 20 yards shorter than where he is now. And if he could do it, he'd start hitting the fairway.
He'd be where he could actually use his iron and get on the green and get in the cup.
Yeah,
bing. Yes.
He's trying to keep up with the young boys now, and he doesn't have to.
Yeah, part of it, I wonder if it's adrenaline that he's not used to having. You know, that stuff that happens when you're actually on the tee, when you're in competition. Yes.
They keep talking about it. I've never really enjoyed any of that.
No.
My mother said I'd go blind if I had adrenaline.
Peter Ellis, voice of British Golf. He'll be at the Masters, of course. You'll be on the BBC. Will you be on ESPN, ABC?
Sadly, no. I had nearly 30 years with ABC and had wonderful, wonderful, wonderful time with them. But then they went in with Disney and they had so many commentators they didn't know what to do with. And I was probably the most expensive living in the UK.
Right.
And given a first-class ticket every time I went over. So I was dispensable. But I enjoyed it enormously.
While you were there. So, Ryder Cup, France.
What about that?
Yeah, what about that? We've got a stronger European team coming up now. I mean, John Rahm is looking fabulous. Sergio Garcia is consistent. Rory McIlroy, do you think he'll put
his... He's getting into it. Oh, we've got a lot of good players, Justin Rose, and a lot of good young continentals coming through. And the golf course, which many of our team are familiar with, it's very spectacular. The last few holes are very dramatic. I think there'll be a lot of people. The French don't know. The elite know a bit about golf, but the rank and file, I'm just a little concerned that if the ordinary folk turn up to watch, they'll be running about and breathing garlic over everybody and shouting and drinking their wine and treating it, you know, a bit like a circus event. But I have high hopes. It'll be a very good spectacle, I'm sure. I only hope that it doesn't become too personal over the last 20 years. I think some of the press have made it very personal and made it almost like a war, saying he said such so and so about you and he said something about you, and getting people annoyed and getting the public annoyed, when after all it's only a match and it's a good match. Of course, for years America dominated it and we were getting in a way tired of winning, and now we've got used to winning, the Europeans. And I think the people who play at home have an advantage. Any home game should have an advantage, and that's the way it should be. And I think the two teams are going to be very good. But the Ryder Cup is very deep-rooted psychologically, and it's very hard on the nerves. And I've known many, many, many great players say afterwards that was the most scary experience they've ever had, playing in the Ryder Cup, faced on the last green with a downhill four-footer to win your game, and suddenly your legs turn to jelly, and you can't hit the ball. It's just weird. It's weird, 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 weird. But it's wonderful.
It's weird, but wonderful. That feeling of your legs turning to jelly?
Yeah, like pajama cords, you know.
Yeah.
So funny.
Yes, yes. And now, you've written 20 books.
Yeah.
The Cure for the Grumpy Old Man. Is that the book that is some of the proceeds go to Peter Alice Wheelchairs?
Yes, that sort of thing. I've got two main charities, my wheelchair for young people and Help the Heroes, which it's not a fortune, but I do what I can. And I enjoy. I'm just not mobile enough now. Maybe I can't really get about like I used to.
All right, well,
so I'm a bit handicapped in that way.
So you're part of the wheelchair society, the Peter Alice Wheelchair.
Well, no, I live through airports.
Only through airports, okay.
Well, my minder comes with me, and we go to the front of the queue, which is wonderful.
Yeah.
We'll last off the plane, and nearly first in for the luggage. So it works very well.
Do you think you'll do it?
Airlines are very good at looking after people in wheelchairs. They're very kind.
I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad to hear that, because I want you to be as mobile as possible. I was saying at the beginning that I would love to have experienced an evening with Alice. Do you think you'd do that again?
Well, I don't. I've done 120. I've done of those various theaters up and down the country, and they've been a great success. I've been amazed how successful they've been, and it was rather funny. I've got a pal of mine who drives me to these things, and you go around the back and you find the stage door and you go in, and the stage manager's there and a couple of stage hands, either boys or girls, whatever, and they say, now, do you have any slides? No. Do you have any music? No. Are you showing any films? No. Have you got anyone else coming on? No. What do you want? Well, I want a chair and a fairly high chair and a little table with a glass of water on it, and that's all. And they, you can see them look at them, oh my God, what on earth is going to happen here tonight? And I walk on and I chat away the first half of the show. I talk about how I got into golf and my father and the Alice family, and then they go and have a drink at halftime, and then they come back and we have a question and answer from the audience. The whole show lasts about an hour and a half, and it's great fun. I was very pleased that it went so well.
Oh, it's wonderful.
Great fun.
Yeah. And that's why I, whenever I saw that, I thought, gosh, I'd like to fly over.
You want to get away from what do you think of long putters and do people play too slowly, and what do you think about lady members of golf club? You know, questions that are ageless, and I've been talking of ages about what, and I like other quirky things. I like other questions, you know, about things.
About things.
Golf is, in a way, it's slipping down. There are less people joining golf clubs over here, but more people playing golf. I think joining a golf club is now becoming very expensive for many people. But they can, if they know somebody who's already a member, they can play as a visitor with a member. And the green fees, only, let's say, the green fees should be $100. It's $25. And so they can play plenty of golf for far less money than it costs them to be a member.
Mm-hmm.
And people have done that for the last 4 or 5 years. And you just quoted all the things the women golfers are trying to do to generate interest. That's what our man at the helm here of the European Tour is trying to do, get people tournaments of interest. I mean, our European Tour this week is in Western Australia. Well, it's a hell of a long way from Europe. I don't think they knew much about geography, but they're way over there, and then they're in the Middle East and then in China. It's quite extraordinary how that has spread, but not everyone can afford to go to these places. Now, that's on the professional level, but on the club level, a lot of clubs over here, I don't know what it's like in the States, they're feeling the pinch a bit.
Feeling the pinch. We are KPUA Hilo, KORLYNI, KONI Lanai City, KTOH Kalaheo. Yes, indeed. Clubs are feeling the pinch, and they're doing everything they can to make it a social experience in addition to the golfing experience. Many of them are doing an excellent job. Mid-Pacific Country Club, for instance, is under new management for the past year or so, and they've just reinfused an excitement about going to the club, playing golf, but also having other things to do with the people that you play golf with. You know, it's got to be social. It's got to be something more, like you said, other interests, whether it's art.
Not everyone can afford to go with a couple of children and four or six of you two or three times a month to have dinner. You know, you suddenly find you spend $500-$600 or more a month just going to the golf club and having something to eat when you can stay at home and have hamburger or whatever. You know, these things have to come into the equation.
Yes. Peter Allis, I'm worried about your voice. I'm worried about...
Well, it's getting a bit croaky, but I hope you can hear me.
I can hear you.
I left England and Wales were having a tremendous battle, and I've stopped the television so I can go and watch it, but I won't shout anymore.
No, no more shouting. It's been a pleasure talking with you. Let's talk again.
Well, I hope so, because I've had lovely memories of Hawaii, going over there with ABC, and starting the year, and first month, two over in Hawaii, the islands, then back to L.A., and then up to Pebble Beach. That wasn't a bad start of the year for, 20 years. That was wonderful.
You are a professional on so many levels. Most people have said, my voice just can't do it right now. I just am going to watch the rugby. Thank you very much, Danielle. This is Peter Allis, voice of British golf, BBC. He's going to be at the Masters. He's golf course architect, including the Belfry, speaker and evening entertainer, and a philanthropist. Peter Allis' wheelchair charity and Help for Heroes. Thank you so much.
Thank you all so much. Bye-bye to you all. Bless you all. Bye-bye.
We're going to come back and we're going to talk with none other than the woman who created on this day 20 years ago, co-founded the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association. Her name is Mary B. Porter King, and we should be having her in the clubhouse shortly. Oh, wait. Okay. We're just going to get in touch with her right now. She's just back from Florida. The woman must have more miles on her, I'm not sure, on her, you know, it's just amazing. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
After a year of searching, I found the perfect building for my new 30,000-foot showroom and office. I asked the architect what to do about the flooring. She just smiled and said, call Futura Stone. They can turn a dirty, bumpy slab into a work of art. Super low maintenance, yet tough as nails. It's not paint. It's polished concrete, as seen in Architectural Digest. Call Futura Stone at 841-7433. It needs to be done right, on time, and on budget.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home. You need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing! 841-2837, your experts on call.
Wow, what a beautiful day. Let's go back in the clubhouse and listen to Danielle Tucker.
Mary B. Porter King has been out strolling. She's walking over to the clubhouse. She should be in just a second, which, of course, gives me an opportunity to tell you while she's walking over to get into the clubhouse that the Aloha Section PGA Dinner to celebrate the winners of the top awards in the section is this evening. The dinner celebrates the champions of six of Hawaii's major golf association and the Hawaii Golf Hall of Fame. So, in other words, the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association. The kids will be there. They'll receive their awards. The Women's Association will be there. The Men's Association will be there. And of course, the Aloha Section, all of the PGAs will be there. And Wendell Tom, a dominant Hawaii golfer in the 1980s, and a four-time Hawaii long drive champion will be inducted into the Aloha Section PGA Golf Hall of Fame. It's the 10th annual Ho'olauleia Awards Banquet, and he said, "It's a great honor to be inducted into the Hawaii Golf Hall of Fame. It means a lot to me. My father's in the hall, so it's special to be able to join him." Tom is the son of Robert Bob Tom, who founded the Hawaii Junior Golf in 1966 after Ted Makalena's stirring win in the Hawaiian Open. And the elder Tom ran the highly successful junior program for some 22 years. And Wendell said, "My father introduced me to the game when I was 10. During the summer, he dropped me and my sister Jackie off every morning at the Alawai. Together with our friends, we'd play from sunrise to sunset, walking 36, sometimes 45 holes a day." And by the way, he played USC collegiate golf, his teammates 1982 Masters champ Craig Stadler and 1987 U.S. Open champion Scott Simpson. So looking forward to seeing the award being given to Wendell Tom, another member of Hawaii's Golf Hall of Fame. Speaking of a member of Hawaii Golf Hall of Fame, she's walked in. She was out strolling. Mary B. Porter King, one of the only women to officiate at a Ryder Cup, an official at dozens of U.S. men's and women's opens, PGA championships, and the Masters, co-founder of the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association. I could hear her thinking. Former LPGA Tour player, the first Lady of Golf, PGA of America's. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Good morning. It's a long walk over there, but I made it.
When we're patient.
Thank you for your patience. It's only the dog.
Well, doggies come first. They have needs.
That's true.
Right? All right. So this is the 20th anniversary of the founding of the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association?
Hard to believe. Kind of scares me. I've been doing this way too long. So it's 20 years that... four of us, Norman Asau, Merv Kotaki, Greg Nichols, and I formally formed the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association, and we're celebrating 20 years of success and giving more of our kids in Hawaii opportunities to play, and all they needed was more opportunities, and boy, have they shown on the mainland. They've shown everywhere.
Haven't they? I mean, it's truly amazing to see how many of our kids are performing at such a high level, collegiate golf and professional golf, and it's just really exciting to see how they've flourished under your guidance, and we can't thank you enough for all the time and effort you've put into it. I was just talking about how many miles you must have.
You don't want to know.
I don't want to know.
It's a lot. And just I haven't accumulated. I mean, I haven't added all the other airlines, but just United, I'm just under 3 million.
So. All right. You no wonder you're saying it's been a long time. You're always on the road, always traveling. I need to ask, when you went to Florida, were you at the PGA show?
No, I didn't go to PGA show. I went to the USGA annual meeting to receive an award that I told myself I would never get that award, but I did, and it's just the longevity award. It's the Ike Granger Award given to volunteers of the USGA who have given 25 years of service. So I promised myself I would retire before 25, but I did go to ASU, and I wasn't a math major, so I miscalculated by a year.
Oops.
And got a letter, and so I went and got the award. So it was very nice.
Oh, I bet. Congratulations. I mean,
thank you.
I so deserved. And longevity, that's funny. You just have to stay in long enough, and you get the award. When you received the 2011 PGA First Lady of Golf Award, that must have been... Was that a surprise?
It was very much a surprise, and the video that they produced and of my life pretty much, and the people who spoke on my behalf was overwhelming, to tell you the truth. From Judy Bell, who was the first woman president of the USGA, to Arnold Palmer and Dottie Pepper, but the one that probably hit my heart was the young man whose life I saved in 1988, Jonathan Smucker, and they also flew him into the awards to surprise me. So that was probably one of the greatest evenings of my life.
Yeah, I bet. And you know, there are so many people, when they heard, this is Mary B. Porter King, a co-founder of the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association, and we've been talking about the EWGA, and the EWGA is holding our Hawaii chapter. We're having a members-only clinic at Mid-Pacific Country Club, and Mary B. Porter King is going to be introducing us to things that we thought we knew and then realized we were doing it all wrong. It's called the rules of golf. If it's on the line, is it in or is it out? Questions like that need to be addressed because people will argue about these things forever. By the way, if it's on the line, on the red line, is it in?
It's in.
It's in.
If it's touching it, it's in, if you remember that. So if it's touching a part of the golf course,
yes.
It's in.
Okay.
If it's touching a hazard or a ground under repair, it's in. So just remember, if it's touching a part of it, it's in.
Okay. So I was talking about it, and of course, Mark Souza over at MidPack, he mentioned something to somebody about what you did, and we need to recount that. The story of you saving the life of the 3-year-old. Now, you were playing in a qualifying tournament. Tell us.
How much time do you have?
Oh, I mean, that's 20 minutes.
You want the cliff notes of that story. It all started, I was playing in a qualifying round for the Good Samaritan Classic at Moon Valley Country Club in 1988, and I was gliding along at even par to the 13th hole, and it was reachable, so I knew, and two, par five, so I knew I could get there in two, try to make eagle or birdie for sure, and anyway, I popped up my drive, and I was never very good at laying up, and hole hooked my second layup shot next to an out-of-bounds ditch, and when I walked up to get yardage and walked back by myself, my caddy stayed at the green, I saw a man jump in a pool, and when I looked farther, I noticed there was a baby floating face down in the pool. So at that point, I made the decision to go help, and in those years we wore cleats. If anyone on listening knows what cleats are anymore, but I flipped off my golf shoes, tried to get over the wrought iron fence, but couldn't, and yelled at my caddy, and he came and threw me over the fence. And 20 minutes later, I had life back in the little boy. So that was Jonathan Smucker. And so anyway, it was the best worst shot I ever hit in my life, and had I not hit such a bad shot, I wouldn't have been there.
Yeah. Did you know CPR when that happened?
No. Jonathan was a year younger than my son, and I'd always sworn that I would take CPR, and I hadn't. And which, if I told you the story millisecond by millisecond, that was one of the regrets I had, as I was feeling so helpless that I could be so dumb not to be prepared. And and knowing that drowning is the number one cause of death of infants in Arizona, since there's so many pools. But I didn't, and the little boy looked, Jonathan looked just like my son laying there, which was really traumatic. But anyway, he and my son are friends now, thanks to Facebook, and I stay in touch with them, and Jonathan just had his third child. So I keep telling them that you should name it Mary B. It's a really great name.
It is a really great name. So for her action, that year, the first recipient of the Metropolitan Golf Writers Association, Mary B. Porter King Humanitarian Award. Does that continue on an annual basis?
It does. Greg Norman was the second recipient. For those of all that remember 1988, he had a little boy with Make-A-Wish Foundation, Jamie Hutton, that was his last wish in life, was to watch Greg play golf. And Greg was a gentleman and spent all of his time in the tournament with Jamie, and ended up, he was playing really well, and it ended up that he was leading the tournament, and Jamie needed to go home for his treatments on Monday. And he found one of his sponsors to get a plane to take him home Monday to make his treatments. And Greg ended up winning the tournament and presenting the boy the trophy. And that was quite emotional. So, but Greg was the second.
Yeah, that's wonderful. That's, gosh, you know, I don't know. I need to kind of like talk a little bit about the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association. But the experiences that you've had in life through golf, spectacular. You know, what was it like officiating at a Ryder Cup?
Well, Ryder Cup's so exciting, just the number of people that are there because there's so few matches. But boy, it can be a lot of pressure if all of a sudden the cameras are on you and you're standing out there and telling the players what to do and they're not agreeing with you at times. But that was a real thrill. So, and I was only an observer in those matches, which was great, but still an observer plays a very important role.
Wow. And what about the Masters?
The Masters is a very special place, unlike anywhere else in the world. And I've been very privileged to play there, and I've been privileged to officiate there five years. And I told somebody one time, and you don't see many women. I was one of the first few women that had ever officiated there. And when someone in the gallery had asked, or one of the patrons had asked how I got that position, I told them I won it the lottery. So, and there's times that, you know, some funny stories, but it can be pressure packed as well, because that's not that you ever want to make a mistake as an official, but unfortunately, as an official, the more you know the rules, the more you know you don't know the rules. Like you had mentioned, I played 25 years on tour and thought I was pretty clever, to find out I really didn't know much, which was a little frightening. And now, as you all probably are aware, they are changing the rules for 19, and those will be coming out to all of us soon. But I'm not about to even begin thinking about those.
No. But what do you think about the new decision to put a rules official, and I think, you know, like finally, put the rules official inside the TV trucks so that they're watching what is being shown on television, so that if somebody sees a rule infraction, they can be there right away?
Right. And a lot of the majors, we've done that for years. The USGA at the US Open, we've done that for years. David Fay in those days was always in the truck. And now David Fay's in the truck now with Fox, with the USGA. And then CBS actually had someone as well in the trucks. And at the Masters, that was my assignment one year. To sit in a room by myself and watch monitors, and I'll tell you, it was the most stressful day I'd ever had in my life, because you really have to pay attention as to what's happening. I think it's good that, you know, they're watching. The thing is, it's, you know, as we all know, that golf's played over like a 5-mile course, and you can't possibly have eyes everywhere. So, and that's why it's so important that the players understand and know the rules themselves.
Yeah, and you know, they point out accurately that the people who are in the lead are going to have the cameras on them, so they're the only ones under scrutiny technically, while others don't have that same kind of scrutiny.
I agree with that. In my time playing golf, I can tell you that probably no one, I could have kicked the ball along the fairway with the amount of gallery I had, but no one would have ever known what I was doing. I could have had it in my pocket and dropped it in the hole. So it really isn't fair today that the top players are scrutinized. Last year, with the Dustin Johnson ruling, which has caused all the changes to this too, I had the beef, Andrew Johnson, in the same ruling on our third hole. And his ball had moved. I didn't feel he had caused the ball to move, and we ended up playing the ball from where it lies. And that's exactly what the rules official did in the circumstance at Oakmont, and unfortunately it was overruled. So that's what's hard. Andrew didn't have the cameras on him. They might have. It wasn't, no one was paying attention. I made the ruling just as that official made the ruling, but unfortunately that rule was overturned. So.
Interesting, isn't it? I mean, it's like you can try as hard as possible to get it all right, but being overruled on a ruling that had already stood in another situation, and knowing that it lends just a whole other level to what we as the viewer, the casual viewer, the television viewer, we don't even know about these things. And it's just
And you're exactly right, and it's truly unfair to the rest of the field and to the leaders because they're scrutinized way too much.
Hawaii State Junior Golf Association, 20th anniversary, bringing up kids and many of them going to college, not for pursuing an LPGA or PGA Tour career. They're just actually accomplishing a lot because they're on college scholarships, and then they take golf with them for the rest of their lives and enjoy the game and enjoy their careers. So it's not about necessarily making, Michelle Weiss and Jonathan Otis, and all the great players that have been coming through the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association, Tad Fujikawa. But today, I wanted to just mention that, again, it is the opportunity for sponsors to get involved in the fourth annual We Love Ping Pong. And that's Michelle Wee. And I was there last year, Mary B., and it was so cool the way the girls come after playing golf all day. And it's, last round, it's Saturday is when Lotte ends. Then they go over and they play ping pong and have a great time. I forgot how much energy we had back,
we do have a lot of energy. It was actually Greg Nichols' idea that we do ping pong, as we were looking for another way to fundraise and utilize Michelle's talents and her attraction. And as you know, probably that most golfers these days play ping pong and they love it, and they have tables inside the locker rooms and areas where they can play. And so we thought, Greg said, threw this at us, and we thought, well, that's a silly idea. Well, it's turned out to be a wonderful idea, and the players, most importantly, love it. And it's sort of like going to, I don't want to say a boxing match, but we have it cordoned off, where you can stand, the gallery kind of stands outside and watches all these tables play, and it gets very competitive. Poor Michelle has been in the finals every year, but she hasn't managed to pull it off.
She keeps getting beat
in the final match, but it's okay. And the players love it and have so much fun, and I think the people who attend really enjoy it as well. So all for a good cause. And just to make note on your comments before about the kids who come to the program, after 20 years, the young people that have come to the program that are now productive citizens in our state, success story after success story, because golf teaches you so much more than how to hit a golf ball or how to keep score or the rules of golf. It teaches you how to be honest, productive young people and respectful. That to me is why I do what I do and why I continue to give what I can give. But I'll never be able to give back all that golf has given me. And to see these young people and now the positions they're holding are becoming doctors and lawyers and productive business people. But what I love the best is they're just good, good people. And I think that's what golf really teaches them.
Exactly. Good people. And just wonderful kids. I see them all the time at different events, like at the Sony Open. They were helping people at the Sony Open. Really wonderful young children and growing young adults. And it's a pleasure to talk with you. Mary B. Porter King, co-founder of the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association. Are you retiring from officiating?
No, not until they retire me.
Okay.
I'm waiting to see what I'll be doing this summer, but normally I'll receive a letter here in the next few weeks inviting me for the U.S. Open that's at Shinnecock, the Women's Open, which is down at Shoal Creek, and the U.S. Amateur, which is at Pebble Beach. And I'd like to officiate through Pebble Beach next year at the U.S. Open. So we'll see.
That'd be great. Gosh.
You never know.
Can I carry your luggage for you, Mary B.?
Sorry?
I carry your luggage? Or, do you have a folder that you have to have with you at all times and I can just walk behind?
Can you fit in the overhead or underneath the seat in front of me? That'd be good. We'll see what I do. But I'm just grateful to be involved, and I'm grateful to be able to give back.
Awesome. Mary V. Porter King, 2011 PGA First Lady of Golf, co-founder Hawaii State Junior Golf Association, a four-sport collegiate athlete. LPGA Tour veteran, member of the PGA Rules Committee, and member of the Aloha Section, PGA Hall of Fame. Wendell Tom joins the Hall of Fame this evening. Thank you, Mary B.
Thank you, Danielle, and congratulations, Wendell.
Aloha. Let's thank the people who make this show possible. First off, Futuristone. Futuristone's master craftsmen, turning your building, your warehouse, your showroom, or your home project into artwork. They use natural stones. They specialize in the Brazilian quartzite flagstone, Aquapave on-site stormwater source control systems, interlocking concrete pavers, and Roman stack walls. You know, that on-site stormwater source control system, really important as the seawall level rises. Rainer doors, yes, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom, provide lasting security and safety for your business, for your home. It's Rainer Doors. Increase the value of your home, a major return on your investment. Give Rainer Doors a call. And of course, Creative Plumbing, whether a building, a shopping center, a store, a custom home, or a townhouse, a new build, a renovation, or a repair, call Creative Plumbing. It's got to be done right. You don't want the waters coming out of the pipes, right? No. Creative Plumbing, when they do it, it's done right. And you can always listen to the show. If you've missed something, you'd like to hear it again, it's radiogolfclub.com. Radiogolfclub.com. Thank you for your mana. Hey, thank you, Lorraine. Congratulations on winning those two rounds at Poipu Bay. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week and we'll tee it up together only on the Golf Club.
Copyright 2018.